endearing to my heart to be able to present brethren who I know and have loved over the many years, and who I know you have come to appreciate either now or in the past. And it gives me great pleasure to turn the meeting over to our dear brother Edmund Jesuit, who has chosen for his subject the gift of time. Brother Edmund.
The subject of time is often referred to in the scriptures, and you will find that it's treated from various standpoints. This afternoon, we're going to treat time as a gift, and hence our subject, the gift of time. Now, we are aware, I'm sure, that time is a fundamental dimension in the workings of our great God. In our knowledge of our great Creator, we can recognize Him as a God of time, a God of order. And He has built into His universe this element of time. And the scientists are able to calculate the time schedules of the various heavenly bodies. They can predict their precise location almost to the minute, only because they can depend on the precision that is put into this universe of ours. Now, we do not realize God's greatness until we discover that He has complete control of time. He who has assigned the great timing and the order in the heavens, He Himself is timeless, as the scriptures declare that He has no beginning and no end. Now, this great element of time, as Bible students, we recognize is built into the divine plan of the ages. And as we study the various time periods, the various ages, we discover that each age, each dispensation has a definite time schedule attached to it. There's a definite beginning and a definite end. And these time schedules are revealed to God's people at the proper time. We find that the apostles, the prophets, and even the angels many times sought an answer to these time periods. And this was revealed by God at the proper time. But many times this was withheld because it was not the proper time. However, all due truth has always been revealed at the proper time to God's people. For example, Abraham and Lot, certainly they were informed as to the destruction of that wicked city. They needed that truth, and God supplied that to them in time. And then you remember Noah. He was told exactly when that flood was to come. He was given enough time to build the ark. He needed that truth, and the Lord supplied it in ample time. And then now coming down to the first advent, there you have Simeon and Anna and the wise men. They are informed as to when to expect the Messiah. Well, now, if God so informed the house of servants when these truths should be due, don't you think He would reveal these truths then due to the house of sons? And therefore, you and I, at the end of this age, have become recipients of much truth, all because of these various time prophecies. They begin to converge on this wonderful period in which we live, the harvest period. We've been given the answer to the question that was asked, oh, by so many in the past. How long, Lord, how long? Yes, time has unlocked many of God's secrets, and especially the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations and is now being made manifest to His saints. Now, we as human beings have been endowed with five senses. And with these five senses, we can cover distance, color, heat, cold, and sound, and so on. But there's another dimension that you and I are acquainted with, and that is this element of time. Now, you can't see time, you can't hear it, smell it, and so on, but yet it is a necessary thing in man's life. Now, time can be used, as we well know, to advantage or disadvantage. Now, in this mad rush of our world today, because of the time factor, many people attempt to do more than one thing at a time. But generally speaking, this is not a practical thing to do. You can't listen to a sermon on a radio and carry on a intelligent conversation in the same room. And it seems that King Solomon had this idea. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, the first 8 verses, this idea is brought to our attention. And there he speaks about a time for everything. And he makes quite a list. Now, as you read this passage, I'm sure you will quickly identify the fact that the wise man was discussing this element of time in the experiences of a natural man as to what happens in his life. And so, there's a proper time to speak. There's a proper time to refrain from speaking. But you can't speak and be silent at the same time. You can't scatter and gather at the same time. And so to us as individuals, time is really the essence of our being. Now you take the geologists and the physicists. They, with their figures, they compute with thousands of years, perhaps millions. Astronomy has its fantastic figures and so on. And we also learn that by them looking through the most powerful of telescopes, that they can see objects there, not what is happening right now, but what has happened perhaps thousands of years ago. Now, these immense spaces of time may not seem related to the day-to-day problems of man, but I think they do serve to point up the need that you and I must make the most of this little speck of time that we have at our disposal. Now, time is the most precious of all things to those who really want to do things. Now, today we have a longer individual period at our disposal than our forefathers had. In the last half century, the expectation of life, at least in these Western countries, has been extended some 20 years. The work week has been reduced from 60 to 40 or less hours per week. And as a result, this has released many hours for man to do other things. However, this additional package of time has not been a blessing to man. You remember the original edict in the Garden of Eden. This included the cursing of the ground. Well, this provided an outlet for man's time. A sinful man would then be forced to use his brawn to subdue these thorns and thistles to produce for himself. And so this physical labor was actually designed by God to be a blessing, so that this time could be taken up by sinful man. But today, as you well know, this ratio of work and time has changed. Man today, with 6,000 years of continual degradation, now finds that these physical labors are decreasing very rapidly. And so when you couple imperfection with additional time, the results are almost disastrous. In other words, time granted to imperfect, degraded man actually becomes a curse. Now, as new creatures in Christ, we're all interested in time, of course. Our calling and election is going to depend on our effective use of time. And so the Lord presents each of his children with a gift of time every day. And with this gift, you will notice that he doesn't attach any kind of instruction. With this gift, he doesn't give you any formula as to how you should apply this time. All he does is make it available to you. And you are to use it how you think it should be used. You have to decide individually how to divide this gift of time that you receive. Now, in each case, the dividing of this time package is not going to be the same. Every Christian develops a different time pattern of life. Yours will be different than mine. There'll be no two time patterns alike. Now, in working with time, we have some basic rules that we could use as Christians. Rules or tools that, if they're used effectively, will be beneficial to us. Now, in connection with time, we have three undeniable facts. Number one, time can be measured. Therefore, you can apportion time. Two, time is always passing, and it never returns. And three, time can be wasted. Much like you can waste material, money, and energy, and so on. And so you see, every passing moment in our lives is really a juncture with roads open for your choice. Shall I go this way or shall I go that way? Should I do this or shall I do that? In other words, you can't stand still. Time is passing, and you must decide. However, there are certain things that may demand extended periods of time. For example, some diseases of the body. It may take so much time to effect a cure. These cases, you can't hurry the time and be cured in less time, but no, this disease may take so long for it to be cured. Then we find that time often creates illusions for us. There was an interesting test that was conducted by a scientist once. This was on a patient that had influenza. And the patient was asked several times during her 2 days of high fever to count 60 at the rate she estimated as 1 per second. And on every occasion, she took less than a minute to reach her count. However, when her temperature returned to normal, her counting was just about normal, 1 per second. I think this would illustrate why we have illusions of passing of time. We go through a certain kind of an experience. It might be a difficult experience, a certain kind of stress, and this time just seems to stretch out, and, oh, it's taking so long. Or you might have the opposite of that. Here we are at convention time. For a little while, I thought there was something wrong with my watch. It just kept on moving faster than I thought it should. But these are illusions of time. But the time space is exactly the same. Now, as new creatures, we must be vigilant and be constantly alert to a weed that we find in the Christian's garden, and that is this weed of waste. Time is an asset. And you can't afford to waste it. Now, the habit of wasting time is just like a sullen weed. It just spreads greedily all over into our lives, if you permit it to do so. Now, if you wasted 10 minutes every day, at the end of 1 year, you would have accumulated a week and a half of work week. Week and a half. Just wasting 10 minutes every day. Well, you may ask the question, well, how can we waste time? Well, there are many ways. The most common we think of are these hours that we spend where we're not working or there's no activity. You can waste time by just staring at nothing and stalling and doing a task. But you can also waste time by deciding for something that's very trifling. You may spend a lot of time and this whole thing is not worth that much. You'd be wasting time. Or you might be explaining why you haven't got around to doing this or that. Now, habit and custom may lure us into many wasteful practices. But on the other hand, you can save time by forming good habits. If you can make routine doings, make them habitual, automatic, why then you're going to release your mind to do or to deal with more important things. Now, one of the torments of our civilization is this pressure of time. I think all of us feel it, especially today, this pressure of time. And we are a society just dominated with clocks. Everyone in this room has a timepiece, all because he has to fit into the time patterns established by society. Now, the Apostle Paul apparently realized the difficulty the Lord's people would have with this element of time. And so he gives us this admonition. Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, this text perhaps would apply more today than it did in Paul's day. Certainly the days in which we are living are more evil than in Paul's day. But along with this evil day, there's something that we have here that Paul didn't have, and that is this extra time. And this extra time allotted to practically all of us now becomes a very definite temptation to every Christian. And not only that, but because the old creature recognizes that here's a little more time, it begins nagging the new creature for more time, asking constantly that it needs more time. Now, when we made our consecration, we realized, I'm sure, that everything that we had was consecrated. Our feet, our hands, our tongue, our strength, our money, all of this was to be used in the Lord's service. But in all of these outlets, time is required. Now, it takes time for our feet to run errands for the Lord. It takes time for these hands to render acceptable works to God. And the consuming of our strength in the service, that's going to take time. It takes time to acquire money. It took you time to make money to come to this convention. And so you can see that time is just completely surrounding us all the time. Now, in Paul's admonition, we have to include also the 17th verse of Ephesians 5, where he says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And this is important. In order to redeem time properly, you have to understand God's will. Now, Paul, in speaking of redeeming time, no doubt had in mind to buy back from other purposes for which that was used formerly. Now, this word buy has the thought of a price attached to it. And in our case, this price might be costly. It might be in terms of earthly pleasures or comforts. But after all, this is what we expected when we made our consecration. To take up our cross and to follow Jesus is going to cost us our lives eventually. And so, realizing that we are living in this evil day, we must realize at the same time that this particular day can use our energy, our influence, our time for other things. And they even might be, yes, sinful, or they might be foolish, or at least they may not be profitable. And so we, as new creatures in Christ, are to extract out of this evil day, out of these unfavorable influences, as large a portion of time as possible. For what? So we can devote this time to higher interests that will concern us and will concern the brethren. Now this purchase has a price tag, and quickly stated, it's self-denial, really. But as we purchase this precious time for the new creature's use, you will find that others who do not think as we do will think it strange that you're buying this kind of time for the use of the new creature. That this time really should be spent in the good things of this world. Use it on yourself. And as a result, this pushes us even further away from their circle. Now at the time of our consecration, the Lord appointed us as stewards. And this includes our time, of course. Now prior to our dedication to God, our time was largely consumed in providing for ourselves and our family. But when we accepted the truth, we realized that we were bought with a price. We didn't properly belong to ourselves any longer. And now our lives really belong to God. However, we also realized that our consecration was an individual matter. This didn't include our family, but this was a personal consecration. Now, before we made this consecration, many of us perhaps have assumed certain responsibilities. You might have had a husband or a wife or children or aged parents, whatever it might be. But the Lord was gracious in this arrangement. He would provide sort of a bonus time. By this we mean that he realized that these were our responsibilities, and so he allots a special kind of time that you should discharge these responsibilities, because this is what you should do. And so he provided us with this extra time. Now the question of buying time. Now this word redeeming, as used by Paul in Ephesians 5:15, redeeming the time because the days are evil, has the meaning of public purchase, or to take possession of. In other words, this will become yours, personally. Now, one area that much time is required is the study area. Now, we've got to buy time to study the truth. Now, where can you buy this time? What can we give up, which we were doing before our consecration, that'll give us time to study the Scriptures? One place that you can buy time is from our former reading habits. Today, as we well know, knowledge is continually increasing, and we find ourselves simply saturated with all kinds of reading material. You have books and periodicals and the newspapers, and you'll find on any conceivable subject, you'll have something written. Now, much of this printed material is worldly wisdom. It comes from Egypt. This is what it is. And in many cases, it provides interesting and profitable reading. But the question is, how much profit will it bring the new creature? This is what we're interested in. Now, we should be well-informed Christians. We should know what's happening on the world stage. We have to be alert to prophecies and how they're being fulfilled. And so you should look for sources that'll give us this information. Now you take a newspaper or a news magazine. Certainly, this could inform us in these areas that we're interested in. But only if that magazine or that newspaper is read effectively. But as you read that newspaper, as you read that news magazine, remember one thing, that the old creature is looking over your shoulder, and I've had this experience, and he takes your hand and flips the next page and the next page, and you begin, she's pointing out, here it is, here's a nice article, here's one here, and before you know it, you're getting into areas that don't do you much good. And so we have to be careful who's turning the pages. Now, these stories that you may read might be very interesting, or they might be trash. But the point is, how much benefit will it bring the spiritual new creature? Now, from this area of reading, we can buy much time. And as Christians, let the new creature make the choice. Don't let the old creature make the choices, because he's always wrong. And here again, you and I must put the time value on our reading. And you can ask yourself the question, how much time can I give to my newspaper reading every day? Can I devote a full hour with profit? Or can I just give it a few minutes? You put the time value on your reading, I will put it on mine. As knowledge continues to increase at the rapid pace that we're aware of, it's constantly creating new things. And many of these inventions are in some way related to this element of time. And these inventions can either give you time, or they can actually rob you of time. And perhaps no single invention has changed the habits of the American people as did this invention of television. But with its blessings, it has also brought its curses. Hours that were once channeled into fruitful activities are now being absorbed by this one-eyed instrument. And it has become, as a result, a favorite pastime of the American people. The world is constantly looking for entertainment to satisfy these depraved desires of theirs, and this one-eyed box provides it for them. And as it is the case, so many times inventions can be used for either good or evil. Unfortunately, the TV contributes very meagerly on the good side of the ledger. And so the question arises, is entertainment justifiable for the new creature? Or is it the old creature that is seeking this part of life? Again, each Christian must make that decision. Whether it is profitable to own a TV set, and if you do own one, how much time can I give it? Another area in our Christian life that requires time is the assembling of ourselves together. Paul admonishes, Hebrews 10:25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Again, you need to buy time for this. This, of course, would include not only our local gatherings, but such as we're having today, this convention. Now, before we came into the truth, we had many outlets to travel to, visit places, and so on. But when we accepted the Lord's way, our traveling took on a new dimension. Now we travel to meetings, conventions, we visit others with others of like faith, and so on. But I think at this time of the year, there's something else that happens to us as Christians. And that is, in this country at least, those of us who have been with an employer quite some time are afforded vacation periods. This may last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. All of a sudden, you're granted a big chunk of time. It was interesting in talking with one old-timer. He remembers someone asking the pastor the question. He had asked the pastor, "Brother Russell, you know you've been working very hard, very strenuous. I've got a good suggestion for you. Why don't you take a vacation?" Remember what he said? "If the devil takes a vacation, I will too." So you see, each one now has to make a decision as to what to do with his vacation time. And it's going to vary. You have children in the family, it'll make a difference. You have a wife that's not in the truth, it'll make a difference. But are you going to imitate the world as they select their vacations? Are you going to cater to the flesh? Oh, you can use all kinds of arguments. But again, you're going to make that decision. I think in regards to this idea also, we won't leave out the brethren that are on the retirement list. Here a brother puts in 30, 40 years in employment. All of a sudden he's retired. He's in good health. Now all of a sudden he's got a big chunk of 8 hours. Now what is he going to do with it? This is a responsibility of the brethren that are on the retirement list. You can't just waste that time. There is no such thing as retirement on this side of the veil. And so now this brother or sister now is placed in the position of making a decision. You're still getting, you're getting a bigger time package. What are you going to do with it? Then they're witnessing for the truth. Again, we need time. Whether you're distributing tracts, whether you're writing out consolation cards, whether you're giving a public talk, makes no difference. You need time. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, he said. Be instant in season and out of season. But what if you get an experience where you've got all these plans set in a certain direction, and all of a sudden an opportunity presents itself to preach the truth? Are you willing to lay aside these well-laid plans? It's going to upset everything you planned maybe for a week or two. Here's an opportunity to preach the word. Maybe go here, go there. Someone had written in. Are you going to lay this aside and take care of this, or say, well, I'll take that later. I've already laid my plans here and they're going to set. Many times we receive these season, out-of-season opportunities, and maybe the old flesh is kind of holding back, saying, now you've set your plans, just leave it there. Now before our consecration, our time was fully used, or at least we thought it was. But now we would have a new outlook on life. We begin to assign new kind of values. Now we found something more important as far as our time was concerned. Now this time that we constantly are referring to can only be obtained by buying it through the sacrifice of our earthly interests. And if you forget everything I've said this afternoon, I would hope that you'd remember this one thing, that there is only one place that you can buy time as a Christian. And that place is by sacrificing your earthly interests. There is no other place. And if you'll attempt to buy it any other place, you'll find it's not there. This is the only place that a Christian can get time, and that is by sacrificing his earthly interests. Now the psalmist David wrote this message in regards to time, chapter 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And quickly, we recognize that David is talking about the element of time. And the thought here is not that we're just going to count the days as the days go by, but rather to consider each day as a unit of time that is to be used exclusively in the Lord's service. Now the thought in the Hebrew in this connection is to weigh out or to allot. And so each of us receives a package of 24 units. And each one of us have to weigh out or allot each of these units where it belongs. And we have to allot so much for sleeping, so much for eating, so much for working, and all of this, we have to allot this properly. But as you allot all of these time periods, And then you use the number 24 to subtract from the 24 hours in a day. And as you make your subtraction problem, well, let's see, I need 8 hours for sleeping, so much for eating, so much for going to work, so much for this. Your figure becomes so small, there's not much left when you make your subtraction. And you wonder, well, Lord, this is all I've got of the package you gave me. You gave me 24 units, but I had to use it for this, that, and the other. And I can only give you so much. But the Lord recognizes the fact that we are in the flesh and that these things have to be done. And he expects us to assume these responsibilities. As the apostle says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, you're going to do it all to the glory of God. And this is a comforting thought, that this scripture is there. That God recognizes the natural man, and he has to be taken care of. This is the temple. We're cautioned to work out our own salvation through the assurance that the Lord works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. And one way that we can work out our own salvation is by numbering our days. Numbering our days in the sense of profiting from them spiritually. In other words, make the ordinary experiences of life bring you spiritual returns. And this is possible. You're working in the shop and perhaps you've prayed about faith and patience and maybe some of these other things. You will have these kind of experiences. And if you could take his, sometimes we say, disappointments and make sure that these are his appointments. And we can turn these experiences, and they may be drab and things that we may not appreciate, but we can turn these into a spiritual profit. We notice in this text, Psalm 90:12, that the object in numbering our days is to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now the heart is the seat of our affections or emotions. And by nature, our emotions, our affections aren't especially wise, are they? But notice David suggests that we develop a heart wisdom. And this is important. Our affections by nature always tend toward earthly things. And this is perhaps why the Lord never put a floor in the tabernacle arrangement. Because he didn't want us to look at earthly things, just the plain dirt. But he had that beautiful ceiling of all the colors, purple, blue, and scarlet. And as we enter into that holy, we should be attracted above the holy things rather than to look on earthly things. And so as new creatures, we're to set up these affections on things above. It's going to mean a transfer of these earthly affections to higher levels. And this is not going to be easy. It's going to take time to keep these affections on top. Finally, it was Paul who wrote, we heard this earlier in our convention, "This one thing I do." And this one thing I do is going to take, brethren, all of your time. And this one thing is the running for the prize of the high calling. And this race in which you and I are engaged in is going to take time. And you can't afford to take time out for other things. Because this one thing is going to take all of your time. And so, brethren, may we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Thank you, Brother Edmund, for that very appropriate reminder of the gifts that we all have, the gift of time, and perhaps the one which we most easily can fall short in using properly. I'm sure that we all have wasted time, and we look back with regret on those moments lost that can never be recovered. And so thank you, Brother Edmund, for that very helpful reminder. And he has chosen for the closing hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy," Appendix K. Appendix K, "Take Time to Be Holy." Session with prayer. One further announcement. Any of the friends that have to take a train or bus from this city, please see either Brother Kenneth Rawson or Brother Hummel or myself, and we'll arrange that transportation will be provided for any that need it to the various facilities in the city. Brother Edmund, would you close, please, with prayer?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Again, we glad to come in thy presence. We're glad for this wonderful gift of time that is presented to us every day. And we would ask of Thee that Thou would help us to divide this time, that it would be divided in such a way that it would be pleasing to Thee. Help us to remember that this is indeed an evil day. We need Thy help. And now continue with us for the rest of this day, this convention, for we ask it in His name. Amen.
Yes, I'm sure that's a talk that we won't think about somebody else.
Kind of
say,
home.
Yeah,
it's home.
Every one of us, at least I feel, I waste time.
Maybe you're not thinking you're wasting it. Sometimes you think you're doing something right, and yet it turns out that...
Well, when I look over various days, I find always time slip by.
Sometimes the health comes...